And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So
we're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because like I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're very welcome along to the GAAR Hurling Show ahead of Sunday's All-Ireland Final. Big rivalry, Tipperary and Kilkenny. With me in studio are Mikey and Conal, as usual, and we've Damien Hayes on the line. Welcome, lads.
Hey.
How you doing?
We've a Brian Cody interview coming up as well. I went down to the Kerry presser, I was saying, in the show last week, and got 8 minutes with the great man. So, you know, it's a little bit intimidating when you actually stand in front of him. But they're a well-oiled machine down there on media days, lads. Like, you know, you had Owen Larkin and Paul Murphy were doing the newspapers. Brian Cody was doing a bit of everything. But, like, sometimes I wonder when I was playing, media days consisted of kicking the ball around at the start of training while journalists just walked around and picked off whoever they wanted to. Like, you know, it's obviously changed from that now where players are nominated. And I was at the Mayo one last night, and Stephen Cohen, a fellow who doesn't even feature, was one of the players up. So, like, I'm wondering, you've been at media days, you know, obviously press conferences and stuff in your era. Do players put their hand up and want to do it, or does manager pick the players that they want to do it, or how does that work?
Well, I think for myself, when I first started, it was really who the media wanted, they nearly picked. And then when Pat Gilroy came in with the football, he changed a whole lot of it. You know, he decided who was going to talk to media and what they were going to say. Nearly, he'd give you a synopsis of what you're saying, and that's it. You can say what you like, but that's the guts of what you're saying. And he'd tell you if you're going to radio, if you're going to the papers, and that's it. And nobody talks to anyone else. So he'd be nominating. He'd nominate the kind of the main lads earlier on in the season, and as it gets more important and more important, like nearly with Mayo, they'll send out the kind of peripheral players nearly come up to the Leinster final or the Ireland final, even though the media probably want the, you know, yeah, the Alan Brogans of this world. But you know, they're going to be selective. They're not going to let, well, at the time, Pat or Pillar nearly weren't going to let their main men be distracted with anything that comes at them, you know. So they're going to fully focus on the game at hand, and I suppose that's what Mayo are trying to do in their media day.
Dennis Bastic does the Dublin one nearly all the time, you know, because he's a safe pair of hands. Like, he's probably not what the media want, because he's on and off the team. He's not necessarily the star of the team in any way, but like, it's all like Jim Gavin just gives the media two fingers anyways. He doesn't really care.
Well, you could nearly guarantee whoever's in the media with the Dublin footballer is not going to play that weekend. Yeah, that's nearly the way it is. And I've seen so much of Dennis coming up, I was thinking there's no way this lad's going to play.
Well, I didn't really read into it like that, but I think Paul Murphy is all right on the Kilkenny team. Owen Larkin, he could be under a bit of pressure. Yeah, although he's experienced enough. What about you, Damien? Would you put your hand up for these press conference thingies, or would you just say it's not for me?
Well, the way it used to work when I was younger is you used to get a phone call from the journalists, and just, you know, they'd tell you who they were, whether they were from The Star or The Sun or The Irish Independent or wherever, and they'd ask, could they get an interview? And back 10, 15 years ago, if you wanted to do it, you'd do it. And it was just a basic interview. You know, there was no hidden agendas. They'd ask you a couple of questions. But as the years went on, I suppose, next thing all of a sudden you were told that if a journalist rings you, you have to ask, can you do the interview? And I remember in my last 2 or 3 years, I got phone calls like any other player wondering, would I be able to do an interview, or would I like to do an interview? And I'd have to say, I have to ring you back to see, can I do this interview? Because if you did the interview, you were going to get in trouble, which I used to think was absolutely ridiculous. It was.
Yeah,
if a player is afraid to do an interview, you know, or has to ask, can you do an interview, I think it's ridiculous. Now, things have gone another level where the journalists come into a room and there's three players in front of you, and they go get their interviews from three players. I kind of think the old way was the nice way, where the journalist interviewed the player that he wanted to interview instead of getting three players in front of him and he's going, I done him last year.
Yeah, and the problem is then, Damien, they all have the same quotes then, all the papers. So I'm reading
that's
around...
I remember I give an example. In 2012 All-Ireland Final, we went to Loughrea Vocational School, and there was four players. I was one of the four. And like, as you just said there, Colin, there was 10 journalists with the mics in front of you getting the exact same interview, and next thing is on the paper on Sunday, and every player is saying the exact same thing. Where if it was a different player for different newspapers, it would be a little bit more interesting for your supporter that might buy two or three papers and likes to read them, you know. So it's gone to a different level. I prefer the old way, where you could just ring a guy and have a chat with them and write what you want to write, but things have changed again.
It's not just GAA though, it's most sports. I was down in Jim Bulger's yard yesterday for a horse racing event, and they're actually just talking about how horse racing is one sport in Ireland, amateur or professional, where you pretty much are still guaranteed access. If you want to talk to a jockey outside a weights room, he will talk to you, because it's kind of part of his job. It's seen as part of his job. Trainers the same, because they have to communicate with the punters. It's important that they do that. If you look at any Irish sport, rugby, hurling, football, soccer, I was at the Euros and I was at England and Slovakia, and after the game at any major football tournament, they have a mix zone. It's pretty much a gauntlet which players have to run, you know, to go past journalists, and none of the England players stop to talk. Joe Hart is kind of the player given, and I remember Dele Alli was walking past me. I said, "Dele, excuse me," and he came over to me. He says, "Yeah." So I was wondering if I could have a quick word, and he looked at me like aghast. "What, you mean you want to talk to me?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a journalist, that's why I'm here." And he ran off. It's like players don't actually expect to talk to journalists anymore. It's not just GAA, it's sport in general.
Yeah, no, it is. And look, to be honest, I would agree with what Damien says. I think the old way is the best way. I think you need to trust your players and trust them that they're intelligent, mature adults, that they're not going to say something stupid, because none of them really do anyways. And I remember the player should decide himself. Before Leinster final against Westmead, I did some Sundays, and I remember going up to the match, the newspaper came out that morning, and I was a bit distracted in how did that turn out and stuff. Yeah. And I decided not to do them again. I didn't play well that day, and I don't think it's because of the newspaper at all. I was marking John Keane, who's brilliant, and I wasn't a top full forward. A lot of factors outside of that newspaper. But I just remember thinking to myself, I didn't really need that the morning of a game. So I decided myself what to do, not to actually be told this is what you have to do, like Damien ringing his manager, "Can I do this, please?"
That's what did happen, which I thought was ridiculous.
Yeah,
we've had the very same, where you had to nearly ask a lot of times too. But I find it sometimes frustrating for players that are trying to develop their careers as well as the playing side of it, you know, what they want to do. Nearly went to the end, when I got to the end of the career, anyone that was asking for an interview, I did it, and because I was trying to build a business outside of it. So yeah. I said, "Look, I'll do it, just plug my business and
do it."
You
want to give it a plug here while you're here?
Yeah, CP Adventure.
CP Adventure, there you go.
He's wearing the shirt.
Yeah, no, but it's true. And it's not, but like, just because I'm working in the media, I have a huge problem with this, but it's not because of that. I had a problem with it when I was playing anyways, having to ask permission to do something. It's like you're in primary school asking, "Can you go to the toilet?" Like, it's out of order for someone coming towards the end of his career, like you or Damien, you know, at the time, saying, "Excuse me, can I do this? Because, you know, you don't trust me to do it."
And it doesn't aid the promotion of the game either, because people want to know about the players they're cheering on, and maybe the fans from a certain county will know all about Damien Hazel, they know all about Colin Keeney. But the floating fan, the person who likes rugby, the person who likes soccer, it's very difficult to really cling to a sport if you don't know the story, as in, what does Colin Keeney do when he's not playing football or hurling? Like, what is it that makes him tick? Is he into, you know, adventure sports? Is he into biking? You know, or like, does he like sitting on his couch watching Sopranos boxes? You know, people want to know about the person behind the helmet. It's natural.
No, I know that. That's true. And the reason to which this kind of annoys me is because I was looking around on all the newspapers today, looking for, you know, different angles and what people are saying. And like, every headline was intensity. Now, this word drives me up the wall when it comes to hurling, because everybody knows intensity is important. There's no doubt. I think that should be a given. It shouldn't even be mentioned. You're going out in an All-Ireland final. And Michael Ryan, all the headlines in the papers, basically, because of these press conferences and all the journalists are sitting there getting the same quotes, like, across every newspaper, it was the same stuff. So you're getting nothing. You're getting nothing new. So it was Brian Cody actually giving an intensity tutorial at the Kilkenny presser. He was asked to explain what intensity is, right? And he says, "Intensity is just trying to dominate your position." Right, okay, that's fine. And in terms of intensity, all you expect is that everyone gives everything they really have. So, like, that's self-explanatory. And then you have Michael Ryan, which really surprised me. He says, I think you can put it simply down to that they have trumped us each day on intensity. This is when he was asked why Kilkenny have had the upper hand on Tipperary, which, Conal, it seems like a crazy comment to make considering he's been involved in the Tipperary setup for the last 7 years. It's a horrible reflection on the management and the players that an underdog like Tipperary are being trumped for this word intensity. Like, it does, intensity doesn't cover all this kind of stuff. There's other reasons.
Yeah, no, there is other reasons. There's so many other reasons. I think the easy cop out is to say intensity.
Isn't it?
Like, if you were to play an under 12 game, you know, the minimum you expect from any player going out playing is you're going to work hard. It doesn't matter if it doesn't go for you that day, but you can still work hard. And,
and
to say that about an inter-county setup, I've heard it said about teams that we're in, and sometimes you can be very flat, but you can still always try, and which means your intensity is still there and you're always working hard and you're tackling. lockdown, but in an All-Ireland final, it's very questionable that a team outworks you or has more intensity on the day. I don't know where he's going with that one, really.
Yeah, and it's Damien, any analysis seems to be come back to this word intensity, and it's more of a hurling thing than a football thing. I think it can be used as an excuse if Kilkenny go out and play Wexford or Offaly in the first round of the championship and are really expected to win it. And, you know, you could actually say there wasn't much intensity there. Kilkenny weren't, you know, at their usual level. But when you get to the latter stages of the championship, like Leinster finals, Munster finals, like that word, should be just a flat given right across the board.
Yeah, it's like, I agree 100% with you, Colin, and it's like the word work rate. If I hear the word work rate once more, it's you know, especially at inter-county level, it's like, as you just said, intensity is a given, work rate is a given. If you're going to be a top-class inter-county hurler, you know, and you're playing in All-Ireland semi-finals, which we've seen two top-class All-Ireland semi-finals, you could say throwing the third game with a replay, like, that's all intensity, all work rate. But as you said, this thing is—it has to be a given. But just reading between the lines there, Colin, with Mike Ryan's interview saying,
"Please
that,
do."
Well, I reckon what he's trying to do there is he's harping on and he's mentioning the exact same thing to the Tipperary players, the Tipperary squad. He's now mentioning it to the journalists because they're writing it, and he's working on reverse psychology to get his players right for this game, so that the players going out on Croke Park next Sunday will not be lacking this word intensity or this work rate that's required, so that the lads have it in their head that it's a vital part. It's like saying the first 10 minutes of the second half is vital against Kilkenny, you know, and he just kept mentioning these words. So I reckon that's to do with reverse psychology, to get it inside his Tipperary player psyche to first Sunday, which he feels is vital.
Fair play to Mick Ryan and Brian Cody for bringing such intensity to their press conferences. And I'm amazed it's taken 19 years to get a definition of intensity out of Brian Cody, seeing as it is his favourite word.
It's almost reached a nadir that actually, instead of hearing intensity, Brian, could you define what intensity is? Because it seems to just cover so many areas of the game.
What exactly comes under the heading of intensity?
Everything. Everything. Your life, your whole being has to fall under that. But, like, I mean, it does rub off on the pundits, and it did, like, there's a lot of the hurling pundits I like, but I do find a lot of the analysis is built around showing clips of, you know, kind of battle zone areas where there's a load of intensity, and for some reason a clip is picked that shows one team getting better the other, and all of a sudden they were more intense. It's just absolute nonsense.
Yeah, sure. It's like a lot of the statistics and the clips that you show. You can pull a clip out of any game and say and you know, pigeonhole it into whatever you want to say. You know,
you can make an argument for anything if you wanted. The good analysis will show a pattern throughout a game.
Yeah,
you know?
And just because there's a schmozzle and the ball pops out to a Tipperary man doesn't mean the Tipperary lads are more intense. Just happen to be, and you could be analysing that clip over and over and over again. And that's sometimes what people do. And even the Sunday game do it to a degree. They pick out the small little things and they overanalyze the small little things, but they don't take the game as a whole. You know.
Yeah, and show what patterns what patterns develop, and that's the more difficult thing. But we'll leave intensity there, lads, and we'll ban it from the show. To be fair to all to Conal, Damien and JJ, they don't use the word intensity very often. I'm very proud of the three lads for that.
I think it is, but the signs you have all over the studio.
No intensity in here.
Intensity free zone. Damien, before we move on to talk to Brian Cody, I want to ask you about Joe Canning there, because I saw headlines that he's actually having to have an operation. So a massive loss to you lads in Portumna.
Oh, he was an awful loss to Galway today, and he's an awful loss to us with the club. We're out now I think it's the 14th, I don't know, it's the 17th of September, we're playing St. Thomas's in our county quarter final, which is going to be a huge game for us and the club, you know. But yeah, Joe had an operation, so he had, and at the moment he's going around in crutches. I feel sorry for him, you know, and it's disappointing for everyone, you know, and as I said, it's just complete unfortunate. It's a killer blow for us. It's an awful blow, and I want to wish him well. I was speaking to him the other night, and we were speaking to him again last night, and you just feel sorry for him. There's no other way of describing it. It's just terrible.
Yeah, is he a write-off for the season, or when is his time for him to get back?
You know, he's a write-off for the season. Yeah, he told me 5 months.
Jesus, yeah, it must have come off the bone. Came off the bone like Paul O'Connell and those Tommy Walsh and that.
So it's it's a huge blow for us, obviously. So, and as you know, it was a huge blow for Galway. So, and top players like that can't be replaced, especially within club setups. So, we have it all to do now against St. Thomas. But yeah, as I said, hopefully Joe will come back better and stronger next year, and maybe the bit of a break as well will, you know, he will do him good and he'll enjoy it.
Yeah, well, listen, if Joe's listening, he's contributed to the show. Joe, GAA, our hurling show, wishes you the best luck and speedy recovery. Right, I was down in Kilkenny, as I've said about 100 times. I missed the stake afterwards. It's a long story, but I eventually caught up with Brian Cody, and here's how it went.
Yeah, Brian, 3 hours of media. I'd say you dread days like this.
Oh, look, it's part and parcel of the build-up, you know. I mean, the media has to do their job, and it's we just hand over a couple of hours to it and the build-up to it, and that's it.
Yeah, just to get it out of the way and not distract players, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's important that players have their time, you know. I mean, it's just we kill it all in one day, and that's it.
Yeah. Has the replay knocked off your preparation? You know, instead of having 4 weeks, you have three, and, you know, you're letting them back to their clubs, or what way is that working now?
We would have. I mean, the lads were there was going to be club matches anyway the week after the drawn match, so those matches had to go. So it's the same thing, really, you know. Just no, it doesn't change anything, really.
Right, okay. One of the best images after you beat Waterford was you just standing on the sideline looking out in the field with a big smile on your face. What was going through your head at that stage?
Well, I was just sort of playing a huge game, obviously. You know, there was a massive game. There was a huge challenge that day. Waterford were standing, ourselves were very, very good. So just after a huge battle, like, and there's a great sense of relief, I suppose, then when you come through a game like that. And obviously the prize was, you know, the winners were in the All-Ireland final, so that's an enjoyable thing to be thinking about.
Yeah, can you enjoy a game like that as it's going on, or is it just you're completely engrossed in it?
Oh yeah, I mean you certainly are realize it's a serious game, you know.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Phenomenal quality going on there, you know, and it's and we're part of it, you know. So you can certainly know that was serious, like, and the game was fast, was furious, it had everything, really, you know. And you're there, and you don't have too much influence on what's happening, but you're there's a real sense of we're driving this thing forward, and you know, the result then becomes everything, and we got there.
Yeah, I see you sending Mick Dempsey sprinting out into the field to send messages in. With that kind of atmosphere, it's impossible to even get a message out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's it. I mean, Mick gets in and out there to the players at appropriate times and that, you know. So, and again, you know, you might just think you want to say something to a player, and you do it, and whatever has to happen has to be done.
Yeah. Where's this idea come out of, and we hear it for the last 19 years, that Brian Cody doesn't do tactics?
I don't know whether I do or I don't, to be honest about it.
Come on now.
Just I don't know what I mean. What's tactics? I mean, you got to make decisions, and you got to decide what you're going to do. And at the end of the day, though, you hand it over to the players, and the players play, you know. And the game takes on, can very, very often, and take on a life of its own. And but at the same time, you've got to try and enforce your will on the thing, I suppose, really.
Yeah, but like tactics from the first game to the second game, like moving your two best forwards into midfield, like that's tactics, whether you like it or not. Do you know what I mean? Like studying the opposition, changing your team around.
Well,
like, you might as well admit it.
It's a selectorial decision, it is for sure, you know, and it's a decision I'd have to make. And I mean, if we look at those two, Richie Holden has played centre field before.
He's
been an outstanding midfielder. TJ wouldn't be used to the position from a club point of view either. And again, that was we did that. And I mean, it's something you look at and you decide to do, and that's our responsibility to make those decisions. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
How much studying would you have done from the replay? Because JJ does the podcast with me, and he said you would have studiously watched that game back over and over. You know, is that the case, or when would you actually decide these are the changes we're going to make?
Well, it goes hand in hand with, I mean, you obviously look at what happened, but also you have to use your instinct, and you're kind of, I would always trust my gut instinct of what I think should be done. The lads, Derek, James and Mick and myself would get together and we discuss it and we talk about it. And, you know, all of us would have our own opinions about it, and we'd marry those opinions together and we'd come up with what we hope would be the solution to it.
And it usually is the solution.
But we hope it would be.
Yeah, is this a really enjoyable part of your career, Brian? Because, like, for a lot of years you were well ahead of the pack. Like, whether you like it or not now, you're still the best team, but the pack has caught up on you a bit. So you are involved in a lot of classics and close games, and you're not guaranteed to beat anybody anymore. You know, being a competitor that you are, like, is this a really enjoyable part of your career?
Well, I never had a kind of a mindset where I felt we were ahead of the posse, to be honest about it.
You are now, come on.
Never felt that at all. And all of the games we faced over the years would have been serious challenges. And nothing has changed in that regard.
Do you get my point, though? Like, I mean, in 07, 08, you would have beaten teams a lot more convincingly.
As it turned out. But not maybe those a couple of times it did happen, but... You know, we never felt going in that it was going to be like that. Absolutely not, because the challenge is always there. If you ever underestimate what's in front of you, it certainly won't happen. Is it enjoyable? Of course it's enjoyable. It is. It's challenging. It's enjoyable. Yeah. But that's the challenge, you know, in a sport. And you never know for certain what's going to happen. And you just try and go in there and get it right as much as you possibly can.
And, you know, there's a lot of changes in the game the last few years. You've got the Waterfords playing a different style. You've got the Clares playing a different style. When you started, everyone kind of played the same style. You know, so now it's kind of... Probably is that bit more challenging from a managerial point of view.
Absolutely, if you like, it is, because all those things are happening and have happened. And I mean, you talk about Waterford there, but then we played Waterford in two semi-finals and it was just straightforward hurling, 15-15. Yeah. So the flexibility is there, but that's the game constantly evolves anyway. You know, constantly evolves, and the challenge. But the challenge is always there, you know. That doesn't change.
But you've evolved with it, though, because you're there now 17 years, and like I said, even from a tactical point of view, you've evolved with that. Your half forward line works an awful lot now. When it, you know, they might have worked in their own patch a long time ago. Now they work everywhere. Whereas, you know, strength and conditioning has come into the game. Nutrition has come into the game. Every year, you know, you've managed across a period where there's been massive changes on and off the field.
Well, I suppose that's life in general. No matter what you're involved in, business, sport, whatever it is, any kind of work situation you're in. If you stand still, you'll be passed out very, very quickly. And you've got to be evolving. You've got to be constantly thinking about ways of improving. You never get to the stage where everything is perfect. You can always have a mindset where, can we get better? Of course we can get better. And you strive to get better. And you look at what's coming down the tracks, obviously, as well. And if you can't handle what's coming down the tracks, you're not going to be successful. So you've got to be constantly looking at ways where you can get better.
Yeah. Talk about just the Tipperary game to finish up with. And everybody talks about the rivalry between Tipperary and Kilkenny. Like, I think that's something that goes on between the fans, because it's not a rivalry when you win all the time.
You must be joking.
I think you're 7-1 in the recent past.
I don't know what. I have no idea about that aspect of it at all. I mean, the challenge is there, the rivalry. Of course, there's rivalry there. There's rivalry with the fans, and actually, we're neighbouring counties. I mean, the border areas are the border areas, and that's a bit of enjoyment goes on there all the time. But
you've been coming out on top, though, in recent years. Like, they've been close games, but you've always got that extra little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, we can't. I don't even consider what happened before. What happened last year goes out the window, or the year before, or whenever it was. And this year, we know the quality of the team we're facing. It's massive, you know, and the challenge is huge. And thinking back on what has happened before wouldn't be the best thing to be done.
Yeah. What about Michael Fennelly's loss? Because they're so strong in midfield and they're big and powerful, and that's what he would have been able, you know, he would have been able to match that.
Michael Fennelly's loss, you couldn't even begin to describe Michael's loss to any team, you know. I mean, he's the complete player in lots of ways, to be fair. You know, he has everything, and he's a huge, huge loss to any team. But like, he's not playing for us. He can't play, so we just have to get on with it.
Yeah. What do you see the differences with Tipperary this year under Ryan?
I don't see. I mean, when people ask me about differences with teams, I don't ever see them that much, because they've always had that massive quality. They have skill, they have pace, they have strength, they have determination, they have a desire to win. They have it all. They have it all. But they always had it all anyway, you know. So it's just as it is, and Tipperary don't go away. They are.
Yeah, I was just listening, or Damien Hayes was saying on our podcast, that the whole backroom team, Ryan himself, and they've got Fanning and a couple more that were all defenders in their day, so they're well coached in defence, you know, and they go man on man. There's no real dropping half forwards back or anything like that. They just trust themselves to win their battle.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the throwback.
Possibly, but again, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even be thinking along those lines either. You just see what's in front of you, and they're serious.
Yeah, okay, just quickly, Brian Gavin, referee. Whatever. Happy with that one? Let it flow.
Don't think about it.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
Yeah, at that point he walked away laughing, laughing at me. He got more uncomfortable and uncomfortable as I started talking about Tipperary. He just did not want to talk about Tipperary, didn't really want to entertain that conversation. And we will get onto that in a minute. But Brian Gavin, like, the story is Brian Gavin is a dream for Kilkenny hurling traditionally, because he does let it flow, and they love that kind of game, and Cody likes that kind of game. But doesn't most hurlers like the game flowing? Like, what hurling team wouldn't like the game flowing?
Yeah, I think most hurlers would. I used to love seeing Brian Gavin, because you knew what you got with him. He let it flow to a degree. He let a little bit go as well, which is always kind of good for what was used to be good for me. But look, he's fair, you know, he's always going to do the right thing. Let it go as much as possible and let the game flow, because the last thing you want is lads blowing the whistle every 10 seconds just because it's a small little free or whatever. Just let the game, you know, especially in the first 15 minutes where it's going to be on the weekend, it's going to be helter skelter, and just let it settle down, you know, rather than blowing the whistle every few minutes.
I've met Brian Gavin a few times, Damien, and like, he's a sound fella. Like, I like him. He's not the worst of him. I can imagine his personality on the field is a good thing. Like, I wouldn't think he's aloof, and you know these referees who kind of talk to you.
And Colin, as you said, he's a fierce down fella. One of the last times I spoke to him was over an all-star trip. We went over to San Fran and we were going over on the boat. We just happened to got the same boat over to Alcatraz.
Right, I was going to say you got the boat to San Fran.
No. We got the flight to San Fran now. Right? But then we were over with the all-stars. But it was a couple of months after, if you can remember, the Tommy Walsh instance. You remember when Tommy went to his Bonner Maher with the hurl and he connected with Gavin but then I remember just saying to him, you know, what did he go happening with? He goes, I have no idea. And I go, and you contemplate him going off at any stage, as you know. He goes, I was there to referee in All-Ireland and I was going to do my job. And then I just finished up message to him, and come here, if Tommy Walsh his Bonner that time, what would you have done? And he just looked at me and goes, should have had to send him off. But wasn't he lucky he hit me, you know? But it was just, he gave such an honest answer, you know. He wasn't just giving me this kind of an answer just for the sake of, you know, I give him an answer. He just goes, God, I suppose if he hit him, should have had to send him off, you know. But Brian, he's refereed an awful lot of challenge matches, you know, as well as, you know, over the years with Galway. And like, during a challenge match, he'd tell you straight out what the free was for, you know, so you'd be letting the players know. But in a championship match, I always said I kind of always enjoyed him refereeing the matches. He was always very fair. He it was the same for one side as it was for the other. He wasn't pulling for the small things for one side, and so I think it's a good call. He'll do a great game on Sunday with Kilkenny and Tip, and it's a game I'm really looking forward to. And a lot of people, I think, were delighted that he got the refereeing, because in my opinion he is the best referee in the country. And number two, it's a family thing for him. He done a documentary the other day where his father is an umpire and his brother is an umpire and his brother-in-law is an umpire, you know. So I'm happy with the decision. Good call.
Connor, I was just wondering, as a former county footballer and hurler, do you think sometimes that hurling refs are picked for the purpose of making a game a spectacle and football referees are picked on different criteria at all? Because it does seem like All-Ireland hurling final referee is nearly always the kind of guy who is liable to swallow his whistle as soon as he's thrown the ball in.
Maybe a little bit in the hurling. I think, you know, you can definitely ruin a hurling game a lot easier, you know, when there's some other refs out there would be blowing the whistle all the time. It's very frustrating. It's frustrating for the fans that are maybe new to the game and coming to an All-Ireland final. All they want to see is the game flow and, you know, the helter-skelter, the few belts that go with it in every game, and just let it flow. So maybe there is a little bit of that. And look, I know in the other side of it, the football, you know, obviously the referee from last week, Dublin would love to see them again in the final. But there is specific referees.
They won't, I'd say. Well, no, well, we know they're not. It's Lane, but I don't think he'll ever ref a game belonging to them ever again.
No, Jesus, he'd be an honorary memory of Dublin anyway. But no, I think there is certain referees that I think managers would know, and you know their specific styles. But it can be frustrating because you're getting blown up one week for one thing, and the next week, like say Brian Gavin would let it go, and another day you're getting blown up and you couldn't get a yellow card for it. So it's very frustrating in that kind of a way. But I would say that they definitely had him earmarked a while to try and, if Kilkenny and Tip met, that they knew what they're going to get, so let them add it nearly to a degree.
Yeah, he's the best referee out there, is he?
Yeah, he would be, in my opinion. Yeah,
right. Damien, best referee out there, deserves the All-Ireland.
Yeah, all right. I would say yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. Right, we'll be back in a minute with some analysis.
After the match with you know, with Marty Morrissey and the Marty squad, and you know, the big thing for me yesterday with Clare versus Galway was,
hang on, did you ask permission to do the Marty squad there?
Well, I didn't, but I was only a special guest. Last Thursday, you asked me the same question when I started Bubbles, and I said it yesterday on the Marty squad, that yes, I would have started Bubbles for that game yesterday.
was the first I heard of Johnny King coming back with the Galway squad. You know, I was asked this in the Marty squad.
Here, Damien, are you getting paid for Marty squad jokes on our show here?
That's three.
Wait, no, I do that completely voluntary. Move away from the messing there, lads, right? We have a serious show to do here, right?
Okay, right. Well, that's it. Well, that's going to be a new feature.
He must have got a pay rise, did he, from you?
No, he's not getting a pay rise, and it's not. He's getting much better paid with the Marty squad, I would imagine.
I'm getting a lot more perks on the Joe Dahi with Colin Parkinson.
All right, just get that word out there anyway. Thanks for that, Damien.
Joe Dahi with Colin Parkinson.
Going back to the Brian Cody interview, lads, it's just something I wanted to pick up on, and it's how he's evolved with the game. You know, like, when I think of managers his age, I think of Alex Ferguson, and it's always like egos come into the game. He's able to manage them, strength and conditioning come in, he's able to manage them. He's a traditional type of manager, but he's not blocking all this new stuff out.
Yeah, he certainly welcomes any bit of an advantage that they can get, you know, not that they need it, but, you know, what was very evident in the interview there is, you know, he's never talking down the opposition. Like, as soon as you were trying to say that Kilkenny are better than Tipperary, you know, he was backing off all the time and saying how good they are and the tradition that they had. And it's nearly like the interviews with Jim Gavin. It's kind of the shutters come down, they repeat the same things, the cliches come out, and it's just the same stuff that keeps coming round and round and round. And they're never going to say anything bad about their opposition. So they can get a bit of motivation out of it. So it's the same stuff they're saying. It kind of gets a bit boring, really, when you listen to it like that.
Well, it does. Like, he's not, like, everybody's great. There's an exceptional team, and that's kind of the party line. That's, you know, that's the way he talks. But it nearly, I don't know, Damien, are Tipperary a stronger team on paper?
I don't know. Are they a stronger team on paper? Mike Ryan has been there for the last 5, 6, 7 years. And I think when he got the job, he looked at players wondering, could they do a job, or do they need to get new players and do they need to freshen things up? They're sitting there a stronger team on paper. I don't know. I think Michael Green in the middle of the field has really given them a new dimension in the field. He's an attacking forward, and he's an unbelievable athlete. And then Parig Maher's brother at centre back has really settled into the centre back that he was looking for. So, are they a better team? I don't know. I'd say they're maybe a little bit more livelier team. Are they better? He's kind of a little bit more youth, Colm. So, I suppose they won a Munster championship, but they won that last year as well. So, it's a huge game for Tipperary this weekend now against Kilkenny, and it's a case of time for them to deliver. You know, and Mike Ryan would have said that to him as well. It's time for this current batch of Tipperary players to deliver and win in All Ireland. They have the talent and they have the players. So, we'd say they're slightly better than last year, I think. Slightly better team than last year.
Is it fair to say that they have to deliver, or could you say that they have delivered consistently? They just happened to deliver against the Kilkenny team that were, you know, almost like from the zombie apocalypse. They couldn't be killed, like, other than the 1 year when they did beat him in 2010. Like, those Tipperary performances in 09, 11 and 14 would have beaten, you know, arguably any other hurling team in history. Yeah, could it go so far as to say that?
They're being judged off that, though. Like, yeah. I mean, Tipperary are not judged on Munsters. Tipperary are judged on whether they can.
I'm wondering how much more they could do.
You're judged, lads, on what you win, yeah, and what you achieve, and that's the way it is. Like, nobody remembers you getting to Ireland, and I'll tell you that more than anyone. It's what, you know, that's what you're judged on. You're judged on what you win, and whether Kilkenny were the best hurling team of all time and they were the ones that were being beaten by them or whoever, that's what they're being judged on. So they're being judged on winning All-Ireland.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever get a better chance than this. Like, the gap is closing, like I said to Brian. He didn't really admit it because, like, you know, like Jim Gavin, he doesn't give much away. But that gap is closed rightly now, Conal, as in, like, Kilkenny are not getting an easy game off any of the top three or four teams anymore.
No, the gap is definitely closed. Whether the Chase and Pack are getting that little bit better, or whether Kilkenny are coming down a little bit. A little bit of both, I think. You know, they don't have huge stars. Okay, look, they have obviously their three or four always, but the big Henry Sheffins, the Tommy Walshes, the JJ Laneys, they're not as... The big names aren't as there at Kilkenny anymore. But, look, it's going to be really tight. I still think there's a few areas that it's going to be key. You know, Colin Finlay seems to be on a huge bit of form at the minute. You know, is Barry going to pick him up? I'm sure he will. You know, and that battle is going to be huge in there. You know, because Barry is a big man himself as well, as well as Colin, and he has the pace and he has the hurling, so that's going to be a huge battle to see if who can come on top there, and that'll have a huge bearing on things as well as so many other things. But the getting the ball inside for Kenny nice and early to him will be a right tester for Barry.
One thing that came out of the semi-final, because Tipperary going into it was almost like this team are unbeatable after demolishing Waterford, but like coming out of the Galway game, their midfield can be got at, their two cornerbacks can be got at in the air. So are we going to see Richie Hogan in midfield and see Walter Walsh, for example, in the corner? You know, is that something Galway might learn them, or Kilkenny might learn from Galway?
You know what, definitely. That game will be studied, and it was definitely Brian Cody will look to all the areas and see where can he find weakness. But just there in Cornwall, whether, you know, who's going to mark who, that's the one thing Tip don't do. Tip won't be lining out anyone to mark any particular Kilkenny forward. They'll line out in the positions they always lined out in. So that all year, the more than Kilkenny will do the exact same. It's going to be, I'm really looking forward to this All-Ireland time. But yeah, Cody looked for weaknesses, absolutely. And Mike Ryan would have done the same. He would have looked at videos against Water and see where their weaknesses. And we have to remember now that Mike Ryan is planning, and so is Brian Cody, without Michael Finley, who is an absolutely massive loss. But Colm, just to go back to the interview, right, with that yourself and Brian Cody did, and he's been saying it for years and years, and he keeps mentioning the word the prize, you know, and it's the prize of getting into an All-Ireland final, it's the prize of winning an All-Ireland medal, it's the prize of going up to Croke Park, and he's the whole time mentioning that word, you know, the prize, and that he's always harping that onto the Kilkenny players. So the prize on stake is the All-Ireland medal next Sunday, and it'll be held for Skelter for Sutherland in this game.
Yeah, I think so. And what do you think we'll see? I think all the talking points are on the Kilkenny side as regards how they're going to line out, rather than, I think we know how Tipperary, Bubbles is going to start for O'Mara. I think that's the only change, potentially, you know, me looking at it. Whereas the Kilkenny team could line out any kind of way.
The Tipperary team, I think, will be as nearly what it has been in the last couple of games. Yeah. There's not going to be a huge lot of change. Now, I did see Lach Corber coming out saying that he wouldn't start Bubbles.
That's nonsense, though. I saw that myself.
Yeah, I could see his point.
I know,
bringing
but
on someone to change.
No, I don't agree with that.
I think you need to start your best team.
Yeah,
and he's one of the best players in the country, so you have to start him and go with that. There's no point leaving him on the bench, and all of a sudden, two or three goals go in, and you're down by 7 or 8 points. So he's not going to win the game.
No good then. No, so that's always my argument with these type of
Hurling's
things.
Hurling's different from Gaelic football. I think it's very easy to lose a game of hurling in the first half hour. You can be, you know, a team can be out of sight. A game of Gaelic football, you know, you talk about a 20-man game, etc., etc., but you still tend to start with your best 15. I actually look back at the first 5 or 6 minutes of the 2014 replay, and there was only about one or two scores in the first 5 minutes, but, like, just the tone that it set, there was, like, John Power put in, like, an insane hook on Brendan Maher, Paul Murphy and Jackie Tyrrell both made, like, massive blocks. It was just like...
Are you building up to the I-word?
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm just saying that there was a statement made. Statement was the word I was going to go for. And I just think that I don't think either Tipperary or Kilkenny would countenance not putting out the 15 that they think has the best chance of killing the opposition in as quickly as possible.
Yeah, no, I think we all agree on that. But what about Kilkenny? We'll talk about how they're going to do, because I mentioned the Richie in midfield and Walter a corner forward to Damien, and he completely brushed it. So I'll throw it to you, Colin.
Yeah, I would see them lining out with Walter and half forward
for Puckett.
Yeah, for Puckett, definitely. And his work rate.
His work rate is huge.
He's been unbelievable, getting up and down the park, and being a bit, just his physical presence as well, being around that half forward line. It's so important to Kilkenny now to win. And the way they're playing, a lot of lads go back, but they also come forward as well, you know. So I would see him there. I'd see him with Richie Hogan and probably Owen Larkin is a strong half forward.
Yeah, Blanchfield, if you want a big man inside, Blanchfield didn't do too bad in the replay, and he has the height which might upset the two Tip cornerbacks.
Yeah, so you'll have him inside, I'd say, with Colin Fenley maybe forward, and then I think they'll go with your man Farrell again and give him another chance.
John Joe Farrell, and he got dropped after the first game and didn't even appear in the second game, you know. So he'll just arrive again, you reckon?
We were talking
Bergen
before about Robertson.
Much.
I think he can definitely come out at an hour, and I think he's not a bad player. He just maybe had a dip in form, but I think he's the man to come back in and do the business for them.
Yeah. And Damien Fogarty back to midfield, and does Joyce come back in at centre half back then? He did so well, obviously, in the replay 2 years ago. You know, these are more questions.
But Brian will pick it on form, and if Joyce is going well at training, and he feels that he's as he says himself, he'll go with his good feeling, he will put him in there. yeah, and he'll put Fogarty back into midfield. But I tell you what, Tuscal, I'm really, and I hope it turns out, I'm really looking forward to is Walter Walsh versus Pádraig Maher. Two absolute giants of men going at, and I'm really looking forward to see how that tussle will pan out in the air, especially, you know, because both players are massive aerial winners. So, but on Brian will pick the team on form, and he'll pick on gut. I wouldn't be surprised if Joyce went back centre back, but I would say Fogarty will be centre back. You're asking me a question. I'd say Fogarty will be centre back.
Right, and does Walter usually take up Pádraig Maher? No, I haven't heard of that.
They're both, that's their position. Wing forward, number seven.
But have they matched up before?
In league, not really in championship. In league, they have. So that's why I'm saying I'm looking forward to this, because both players are going unbelievably well, and Walter Walsh's work rate going up and down the line, you know, for such a big man, has been unbelievable this year. I'm interested to see how the tussle pans out.
He's 6 foot four.
Looking forward to it. Giants.
Yeah, he's 6 foot four and he's 15'6". I was doing a bit of a tail of the tape before we came in. So he's one of the few Kilkenny players who would match up to Maher, 6'2" and 15 stone, according to the latest GAA program.
And JJ Delaney, actually on the podcast, has referenced Pádraig Maher on a
they avoid him like the plague.
That they really respect Pádraig Maher. You know, like, this is, they're putting Walter Walsh on him. They're saying, kick him out of the game. You know, like, hammer their strongest player. And I think you nearly have to do that with Pádraig Maher. He's such an influence. He is the leader of that team.
Yeah, and I think if you look at any of the puckheads in the last couple of games to Barry playing, they're avoiding his side every time. So he's invariably nearly picking the ball up off a break or whatever and giving it down. Never really do you see him winning from a puckout. It's always from a clearance from the half back line, and he's gone in behind to get it. So people are well aware that if it goes down 9 times out of 10, he's going to win it.
Yeah, so he's well off. Maybe keep Walter away from him then and take the advantage on the far side. Well, then Tip will aim all their. Well, Tip wouldn't aim their puckouts at him.
No, like, then you should, like, you have the other side, which is like Owen Larkin or whoever, like, and he's well able to win his own ball, and he's not small either, like, so it's hard to know. I don't think Kenny really will get too bogged down on the Tipperary, especially in the forward line. They're going to set up pretty much like Tipperary set up and just go at it and see who comes out on top on the day.
Yeah, Damien, okay, Tipperary obviously beaten well 2 years ago. What is the difference in this Tipperary team? You know, what improvements have they made? Like, I was reading Ryan O'Dwyer in the newspaper, and he's saying that Tipperary for too long have lacked a bit of steel, and that
the difference, Colm, right, the difference is that this group of players have matured. This group of players, the Pádraig Mahers, the Brendan Mahers, the Bonner Mahers, the Bubble O'Dwyer, all these are all young lads 3 years ago. They now realise the time is ticking, the clock is working, they need to start winning stuff. They're a team that has had unbelievable talent, a team that should be, you know, Shamey Canlon, I can't believe I left his name out there, you know. These are all players that have been in All-Ireland finals, have failed to win All-Ireland finals. They're a team of unbelievable quality. They've only won All-Ireland one as a bunch. They realise the time is passing, and they've got mature. They've got a brilliant captain there in Brendan Maher, very level-headed guy, a sound man. He's driving that whole team as well, and they've all matured. They've all realised that now is the time to go win in All-Ireland, that the years are passing, these years won't come again. They cannot guarantee they'll be in the All-Ireland final next week. You can talk about all these words that they're using, catchphrases and all that, with this team, but the thing is, they've matured. These are not young lads anymore. They're, you know, is it John McGrath, the youngest player in their squad, and you can see how level-headed he is because of the whole maturity of the squad.
Yeah,
and that's the difference. That is the difference between Tipperary this year and Tipperary 2 and 3 years ago. These guys that were in their early 20s are now gone into their middle 20s, late 20s. And as I said to you, it's time for them to deliver. And it's time for them. They've only won All-Ireland once. With such a talented bunch of players, and that's the difference, Colm. Lads can analyse it any way they like, but this group of players have matured.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a fair enough point. But is it fair to say that they have a better balance maybe to their team now? As in, Breen has come into midfield, Conal, and he offers a balance with Brendan Maher. You have McCormack, who's come into the half forward line as a ball winner, that it's not all Bonner Maher's, you know, problem, and he's easily taken out of the game. And they have their scoring mix of Canlan winning in the air, McGrath's clever, Bubbles is a bit of a genius. You know, they seem to have a lovely balance and a dominating half back line. When you look at Truder team, I see balance, and I just see, like, you know, just an awful lot stronger than they were.
Yeah, you could say that, I suppose. They're certainly not reliant on two or three players up front to get all the scores, maybe like they were. A lot of the scores they're getting, it's even true. A lot of, you know, people are going with 4 or 5 points in the half forward line inside. You have Shamey doing very well, even though he had a quiet enough game in the semi final. So he's going to be out there determined to produce the goods in the Ireland final again. And yeah, it probably is a little bit more balanced. And the new lads come in, I've given a bit of freshness to them, you know. And I think that's what you need sometimes in this squad. When you're always thereabouts, you need someone new and fresh to come in and bring something different to the table. And yeah, I think maybe the Tipperary have got that this year, and maybe it's going to be enough for them.
How important is that balance on a team? Like, how important, like, the one thing with Tipperary, they're always scoring wing forwards, they're scoring full forward line. They nearly all were scorers. You can't all be scorers. Like, there's a hierarchy in the forward line. I always think, like, these are our scorers. You'll work, you know what I mean? There's like, you can't have six egos in the forward, or it's just not going in a forward line, or it's just not going to work.
Yeah, you'll always have that, maybe certain kind of shooters, if you like, and lads that are going to work. But I think with Tipperary now, they all work. They all seem to work very hard. Albeit there's some lads there that are getting a little bit more scores than others, but I think across the board they're all working extremely hard, and they know that it's not about themselves, it's not about the ego, it's about the whole team. And probably the younger lads are really driving it on to the older lads, saying let's go and try and win something now, because as Damien says, they know they're not going to be around forever. They're probably another maybe 2 or 3 years left in some of them lads at their peak, and that's what they needed. They needed the young lads to come in and drive them forward, and look, that's what seems to be the way it is at the minute. But look, a lot will be told on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, what do you think, Damien, about the balance? Like, I mean, you're a good foil for Joe Canning, for example, because you'll be out making the hard runs, you'll be out foraging for the ball, and you'll make space for him inside. And you don't want three, you can't have three Joe Cannings in there.
No. And as you said, the balance has to be right. Like, you have to have workers, you have to have lads to know their job, lads in other places. You'll have finishers, you'll have lads that'll be better strikers than others. Some guys will be natural strikers. Some guys will be better off their left than they are off their right, whatever. And then you have to have the lad that's willing to give the passes and give the assists, you know. And a huge example of that would be the likes of Bonner Maher. So, you know, just an unsung hero, just does it for the team, doesn't mind who gets the plaudits, you know. What we call the massive hurling supporter will see the work that he's doing. They're after bringing McCormack into the half hour line, you know. Once again, not a massive scorer, but a massive worker, will lay off the ball and everything, you know. And that, you know, the balance is right with Tipperary in their forward line. And you know, there's some lovely forwards, Bubbles, Shamey, Tandon, the two McGrath brothers, you know. And then you've got the two workers with Bonner and McCormack. So the balance is very important, but it's the unsung hero. It's the lad that's willing to give the pass. I'm always saying in the training, and the lads down there will vouch on this, that I probably drive them cracked, is give the ball to the man in the best position, and that is what has to be done. And you're in the All-Ireland final for Kilkenny versus Tipperary. You have to keep the pass and the pass gone and get the scores. And yeah, the balance is very important. It's extremely important, Colin.
Yeah, and Tipperary seem to have that in their forward line, is what it, like, because you've got Bonner and McCormack who are not necessarily there to score, you know, and the full forward line will all want to score. And Noel McGrath is a bit of both, you know what I mean? He's almost your all-rounder who's going to do everything.
But Noel McGrath got 3 beautiful points last in the All-Ireland semi-final, and he worked hard, and they basically they brought in Curran then, I think, going off memory for Noel McGrath, where maybe they thought he tired a little bit, whatever. And then you've got John McGrath inside that's getting scores and making scores. And then you have Bubbles would be a finisher, no more than Shamey Cannon. Them two players might be renowned for their work rate more as for their finishing, you know. But I personally think the Tipperary team in general, I just love the way they play, you know. They're always trying to hit the perfect ball, the nice ball, hit the ball into the space, hitting the 70-30 ball, always trying to put it at the advantage of the Tipperary player. And they probably got that element of their play from Eamon O'Shea's training days, and it, you know, a lot of that will have, you know, stuck with the squad. And then Michael Ryan is after bringing in tight at the back, a bit of steel, and another element of huge work rate and all that type of elements. But I like the pattern of play, the way Tipperary hurl. I do enjoy it.
I think if Shamey Callanan is tied up, which can happen, but not always obviously, but I think there's probably more scores in the Kilkenny front six and there isn't a Tipperary one. But then I'd say that the Tipperary half back line and Tipperary midfield definitely have more scores in them than the Kilkenny midfield and half back line. So I think that's very interesting, that Maybe that's a bit of a role reversal, but I think Tipperary, there are, you know, there's points in that half-back line, and there's definitely points in Breen, and I think with Mick Fennelly gone as well, I think Kilkenny are lacking scorers outside of their front six a little bit.
Yeah, like we not to forget, like the Kilkenny team, that when I close my eyes I can see them so many times, a lot of times they're getting the ball in defence and just launching the ball into the full forward line, and they have a big man in there, like I can see Reid, Walter Walsh, Blanchfield, any of them just getting the ball and burying the net, and then all your nice balls down the side and all their tactics going out the window.
I love the way Conal's a pure traditionalist, like he does love that ball. You do.
I get sick, true, of people, like, talking about, yeah, you know, and respect to everyone, like giving great ball in, there's a time and a place for him, but a lot of times in a big game, a back is getting the ball and the last thing they think about is hitting the ball nicely, even though you want that ball down there, but the last thing they think is just get rid of it,
horse it in.
And there's nerves in there too, like, I mean, I'm sure as a corner back, the last thing you want to deal with early is one or two of those bombs, like, I mean with the nerves and things like that.
Absolutely. And then if you don't catch it, then it'll break and ball. So look, I think the best thing is always give the ball in early and fast as quick as you can, and sure, like Damien was the best man inside ever. I said it before. Any the ball you want is a quick ball, be it high or low, and obviously a low ball for Damien. But I don't care what you say. A quick ball is what you want, rather than a lad holding it up, trying to give you the perfect ball, and it goes 60-40 in the defenders, and then you're caught then altogether.
Yeah, that's the thing. And
maybe 10 years ago, when you went
out the field, it's one thing. It's an education playing in the full forward line, because, like, it makes you a better player when you come out to the half forward line, or even if you go back, because you don't appreciate the type of ball they want and how frustrating it is in there. And it is an education to play in there, to know. I think everyone should have a challenge game or two in the full forward line and get frustrated.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah.
You know,
what happens is you're inside. I said this on the Joe Dahai show with Colin Parkinson more than once, right? That you're inside and the ball isn't coming in and you're getting frustrated, and next thing you're getting anxious, and next thing one ball will come in and you miss it, then you're getting even more anxious, and next thing you'll go out the field, next thing when you just go out for that 30 seconds a ball will go in over your head and you get frustrated, and that's what happens. So and then when the ball has been hitting, it's been hitting high or it's been hit to the side of the defender or whatever. So yeah, I say every player should spend a stint inside in the full forward line, especially for an attacking purpose, so that you can see what type of ball that you want. But when I went out the field, I suppose in my latter career, when I'd be hitting in the ball, yeah, I knew what type of ball that the forward wanted, and it would have helped my game. And I always say 70-30 ball, or try to hit it into the space, or carry it and pop the hand pass or whatever. But yeah, I would think every defender in the half back line and midfield should spend a stint inside in the full forward line, maybe in the corners.
Yeah, okay. And here, just before we get predictions off, you will finish up on this, because you mentioned we know the Tipperary six backs will just line out traditionally, and that's kind of it. There won't be actually earmarked. What about Kilkenny? Well, like, I shouldn't ask this question, because I know they'll probably do the same thing, but will they have earmarked? I know Callanan got 5 from play off Holden in the drawn match, and they got 1-1 from play, 2-5 altogether in the replay. Like, is there an argument that he wouldn't go on Callanan and that Murphy might go on him and he go across on Bubbles, or will they just, isn't there much of a muchness?
They tried Murphy full back during the league and he wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
And Murphy is used in the corner. He's absolutely tried and trusted. And also Murphy is a player that kind of sweeps across the lines as well. No, Brian Cody, being Brian Cody, he's going to just tell Joey Holden that you're picking up Shamie Canlan. This is your responsibility. This is the job you have. It's a huge role. You have to do it for the team. And he'll let him know that what he scored on him before, that you have a huge task in hand and you have to do a job for the team and do a job for the county. And it's up to you to hold him. Obviously, nobody's going to get scores. He's going to tell him, but you have a job to do for the hour. And Brian Cody has a notion in changing any of his back six to line out against any of the Tipperary forward line, in my opinion, and I expect the exact same from Tipperary. They're going to go man on man, and they're going to go dog eat dog, and let's see who'll win the All-Ireland and bring it on. But he won't change holding off Shamie Canlan. I'd be extremely surprised if he does.
Yeah, is that the best message to say to Holden, what Damien says? He's going to score 4 off you. Leave it at that, instead of saying keep him clean sheet, because that is not going to happen against Canlan.
Well, I think for nearly any defender, like if you're marking a top quality player, if the quality of ball going in is good. There's not a whole lot you can do, really, once you're not making sure that he's not going to round you for a goal. If he gets the ball in space and he pops it over, okay, well and good. But you have to... But there will be those chances where the ball will be 50-50 and you have to make them chances count. And I'm sure it'll be the same when Joey's there. And suddenly, we've always been told that if you get your chance, you know, making sure you let him know that you're there early in the game, you know, so give him a rattle earlier on and see how he reacts. And maybe, Shane, you could argue the case that, you know, he's a big man, but he might be a little bit soft. So maybe I'm sure that's a side of Joey's game that he's obviously developed over the years. I remember marking him a couple of times. You know, he might look like that. He's, you know, very gentle and nice hurler, but he's far from it. He's exactly like JJ. You know, they come across really nice. And as soon as that ball's thrown in and you put your hand up, it's just cut off.
Just before
you come in, right? Brian Cody will be saying, if you get the pint off, that's fine. That's no big issues. But he's not to score goals. That's the one thing Cody will be saying, that, you know, to any of his backing. Let them score a pint if they want to score a pint. It's just a pint, but not to concede goals. But just to say on Joey Holden as well, you know, just to give him a bit of praise and a bit of credit. Joey Holden at some All-Ireland semi-final replay in Turris. He is absolutely brilliant in my eyes. So, but just to continue, but he'll say not to leak goals. Lads will get scores, but leak no goals. That's what Brian Cody will be saying.
Yeah, okay, right. Great stuff, lads. We'll be back in a second with predictions. Right, lads, we'll keep this short. Betting's pretty even. Like, I mean, the betting's not even going to come into it. Interestingly enough, Kilkenny are underdogs in the handicapping. It's Kilkenny +1 or 4-5, Tipperary -1 or 5-4. So there's not much between them. It's pretty much even money, you know, in the bookies. So this is, it's a toss of a coin. It's a very difficult one to call.
Yeah, look, there's going to be absolutely nothing in it. The only thing from my own point looking at it is I've heard an awful lot about Tipperary in the last maybe 2 weeks or so and how they're going to approach the game, and, you know, that it's their time, they deserve this win. Like, that's all rubbish. It goes out the absolute window when it comes down to the game, and they don't deserve it. And if they, you know, they go and work hard, and if they win it, then they deserve it. But look, they're a real very good team, and they, as we said, they are very evenly balanced across the whole pitch, being the backs and the forwards. But I just think there's still a little bit more on this Kilkenny team. I think Kilkenny players and management and supporters love the whole fact that they're nearly written off going into this All-Ireland final. And I think that's the best time that Kilkenny seem to always perform, when they're always kind of written off. You kind of nearly, as the game gets closer and closer, you nearly build up the other team. You build up Tipperary to be something that they're not. Have they been tested? They have to be tested a little bit. But I think this Kilkenny team are nearly grown into the championship. Michael Fenley is a huge loss for them. But I think that will just add a little bit of more spice to the team talk all week, you know, to really give them an extra bit. And obviously it's Tipperary, this huge rivalry between fans and players. And I just have a feeling that Kenny are going to come out 3 or 4 points.
Okay, and you hating Tip doesn't come into this prediction at all?
No, I never said I hated Tip.
No, there's
some people that I dislike as Tipperary supporters.
Well, people think I hate
place.
Dublin.
It's a big place.
Play up to it. Mikey, another thing we should point out is that if you're to use Galway as the yardstick, you know, they've both played them in competitive games, and Kilkenny beat Galway well and Tipperary struggled over them. Like, you know, does that kind of thing come into it, or is that, you know, you can't kind of judge game for game?
I wouldn't look at it like that at all. I think you have to take this game nearly on its merits, as Johnny Giles would say, but I think both teams are going to go really at it, and it is going to be huge intensity, as we already talked about, and it's going to be very, very close. It's whoever gets the breaks on the day, and I think that's the way both teams are lining up. They're just going to go at it. Tactics nearly going to go out the windows to a little degree, but I still think Kenny will have that little bit extra and come out on top.
Okay, Mikey, hopefully. What do you think?
I tipped Tipperary at the start of the year, so I'm going to stick with it. I do have my reservations. I think their cornerbacks are maybe a little bit questionable, and actually that's probably my only doubt about them. They're bigger, they're uglier, they're meaner. Jamie Callanan was quiet the last day, so that means he's going to have a rip-roaring game in the final. Kilkenny do not lose close games, so I'm going to say tip by 6.
Jesus. Okay, Damien.
Colm, I'm predicting Tipperary to win the All-Ireland. I go to see Tipperary versus Tipperary any day in a championship match. You always get a massive game, unbelievable. Kilkenny are an outstanding team, unbelievable hurlers, unbelievable players. But I'm going for Tipperary, and I'm going to put pressure on Tipperary. I'm going to say it on the show. There's time that this group of players from Tipperary produced a massive performance. It's time to deliver. They have quality in that team that's not in any other team in the country. It's time that some of their players stood up and put in a massive performance in an All-Ireland final and win, and for some of them players to win their second All-Ireland medal. Like Jamie Cannon, top player, but he was a sub the year they won their last All-Ireland. For a player that's been nominated for Hurler of the Year for the last 2 years, they have unbelievable quality. Michael Finley being missing for Kilkenny is a huge loss. So I'm saying Tipperary to win the All-Ireland, and I expect and I demand that they put in a performance that is true to that dim Tipperary hurlers. So Tipperary.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to go Tip as well. I think it's so even, it's impossible to call. I think Michael Fenley's slightly swinging it my way for Tipperary. So that's it. 3 for Tipperary, 1 for Kilkenny. Someone has to be right on Monday. That's the great thing about this. And I'm going to the Winners Hotel on Monday, wherever. I have to find out where they're going to be. So I'll try and get loads of reaction from the winning camp for the show on Monday morning. So JJ will be back in for that with a hangover, no doubt. Or would JJ even go on the beer for an All-Ireland win? It's hard to know at this stage.
Just,
you know,
another day.
Just another day. Well, the Leinster final was just another day. He came in here fresh as a daisy. I don't think he even had a point, which will make me, you and Damien absolutely sick when you're winning Leinster titles. Right, that's all we have time for. We've kept you a bit too long this week, but it is an All-Ireland final. Thanks to Conan, thanks to Mikey, thanks to Evan, thanks to Dion for putting the show together. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at sportsjoe_GAA and subscribe to us on iTunes. Search for the GAA Hour and comment positively and like us, etc. See you all on Monday morning. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So
we were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through, but hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.